As you may have heard from WPR News this afternoon, the mayor of the city of La Crosse, Mitch Reynolds, is already saying the city may be forced to declare a state of emergency this winter to care for people who are without homes. Homelessness in a city, state of emergency declaration forthcoming evidently from the mayor of La Crosse. But what if you don't have a city to declare a state of emergency? What then? Homelessness in rural America and rural Wisconsin. It's a problem being faced by many residents around Wisconsin, where housing options have also become more and more limited. So I want to invite you into this discussion at 1-800-642-1234. Do you live in a more rural part of our state? And what are housing options like where you live? Do you observe much of a problem with people living with homelessness in your area? And are you someone who's currently experiencing homelessness or home insecurity, or know someone who is or has previously? We'd love you to share your story. It may do some good and hopefully connect you with some resources as well this half hour. Join us, 1-800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Email's also available to you at any time, ideas@WPR.org. Our guest, Michael Hall, Associate Director of the organization Foundations for Living that serves people experiencing homelessness in Waupaca County. Michael, welcome to the Central Time.
Hey, thank you for having me.
Also joining us this half hour, Brad Paul, Executive Director of Wisconsin Community Action Program Association, otherwise known as WISCAP, a statewide network of organizations fighting poverty. Brad, thanks for joining us as well.
Thank you, and thanks for your interest in the story.
Yeah, and let's begin with you, Brad. Introduce us a little bit to WISCAP and the work that you do every day.
Sure. WISCAP is the State Association of Community Action Agencies, and these are anti-poverty organizations born out of the War on Poverty back in the 60s. In Wisconsin, that means 16 community action agencies and two what are called single-purpose agencies. They all work on fighting poverty. They're local, so anyone in your listening area will have a community action agency that services that area. And they all provide direct service ranging from housing assistance, food pantries, job training, literacy, the whole range of anti-poverty programming. We're also, as I said, in addition to being everywhere in the state, that includes, pertinent to this conversation, a lot of rural areas. We have members in Milwaukee and Dane, but most of the member organizations are in geographies that are quite rural, and they see rural poverty from that lens.
And Brad Paul, from what you see, do you have some rough estimates of how many people are experiencing homelessness or home insecurity in Wisconsin's urban, suburban, and rural areas?
Well, this is a tricky question, and it's really at the core of when we talk about rural homelessness. The problem with estimating numbers of homeless in the state or any state, it's a national challenge, is that we have competing definitions of homelessness. So the HUD definition, which is what really drives policy, federal policy, counts those who are in shelters and on the street. That's mostly the extent of what is considered homeless under that definition. By comparison, the Department of Education has a more expansive definition. It includes people who are living in motels, families and children that are doubled, tripled up for lack of an alternative, a more expansive definition that gets at housing insecurity. And for our discussion, that's really where most rural families and homeless individuals fall in that definition. Having said that, when we take those two numbers combined, so when we take the HUD definition, which is arrived at, or the numbers arrived at every couple, twice a year, the state of Wisconsin sends out teams of folks to do a point in time count. That number's up, hovers at around 5,000 per year for the state. That's the point in time count. That's the definition that gets its way, works its way into the media, lands on the desk of policymakers. That's the number. When you take the Department of Public Instruction definition, on the other hand, who have, by school district are counting homeless kids as identified by the school liaisons in those districts. Last year, DPI counted over 17,000 kids throughout the state of Wisconsin who were homeless at some point. So it's a crude estimate, but if you take just those two baseline numbers, you're looking at over 20,000 people in the state of Wisconsin last year who experienced homelessness.
That's Brad Paul, Executive Director of Wisconsin Community Action Program Association, or WISCAP, and invite you to join us at 1-800-642-1234 if you've got an opinion or story to share. Also joining us, Michael Hall, Associate Director for Foundations for Living. And Michael, how would you assess the state of people living with homelessness or some form of home insecurity in Waupaca County?
Yeah, I would echo a lot of what Brad had to say when it comes to trying to find numbers and what are those exact numbers. We look at what we have here come through the shelter last year was 43 individuals. But our school district says flat out that there are 60 kids that are homeless in our community, just in the city of Waupaca and their school district alone. So it's really hard to put your thumb on a number. And I just think based on whatever the criteria might be is what kind of determines where the numbers come from. But I would just, again, what Brad said was pretty spot on. It's a lot bigger than what the numbers show.
So Michael, how does Foundations for Living help those who are looking for your services? Do they find you? Do you find them? How did those connections happen?
Well, we're pretty well known in the community. We do have relationships with the county, with local law enforcement. And so anybody that's looking for those types of services, we're pretty well visible. We're a crisis center, a warming shelter. We have a thrift store. We offer recovery services. Those simple things like just food or clothing or help with a water bill, general hygiene products, those sorts of things. So people know where to go when they are in need.
And Brad, Michael seems to be echoing a lot of what you see. How about his assessment in Waupaca County and how you apply that to the rest of Wisconsin right now?
Well, what Michael describes is similar to both the occurrences of homelessness in a lot of these smaller communities, but also the response. An agency like his provides really critical relief, because what they do is they provide the whole range of services, not just one particular program model. That includes transitional housing, which has really been de-emphasized by HUD over the years. A mistake in my estimation, but important that agencies are still doing that along with those sort of wraparound services. It's similar to what CAP agencies do. We provide, meaning our members provide, the whole range, because, you know, as housing advocates, which I consider myself one, we've spent a lot of time over the last 20 years talking about the need for more housing, and that's crucial. That's absolutely fundamental to this story. But we've done less, we've been less successful in pushing for better wages, better income supports, mental health, substance abuse, services, counseling. It takes more than just affordable housing, even though that's probably at the center of what we're talking about. And homelessness in rural areas, as I said earlier, really reveals itself differently than it does in an urban area. I mean, you don't have the congregate shelters like you do in a place like Milwaukee or Madison. So you don't see those. You don't see people sleeping on the streets in the same way you do in an urban area. It's the folks, it's the families living in barns, living doubled, tripled up, motels, anywhere they can to keep their kids off the street. That's what you see more commonly in rural areas, and it just doesn't match up with federal policy of the last 20 or 30 years.
Yeah, and Brad, how do your community action members connect the services for those in need across the state? Do they find you or you find them? How does it work?
Well, like Michael said, our agencies are pretty well known in the community. Yeah. Most of them have been around since the 60s and 70s. They're well established, trusted resources in those communities. We have some agencies that have sort of three county service areas, others maybe five, six county service areas. Our agency in Milwaukee, the Social Development Commission, is the one CAP agency for that city. So the geographic footprints are different, but the common thread is that all those agencies have been around a while and understand how to address poverty needs in their particular community, because every community is different, obviously.
Michael Hall, why do you think some of the reasons we might overlook as institutions or just individuals, folks who are experiencing homelessness in more rural areas?
Well, like Brad had to say, I've been a volunteer at the warming shelter here before. I was the associate director for about 3 years. And so it's on my radar. And we also do some pastoral ministry in the area. And I've never once seen a person sleeping on a park bench in our community anywhere. I mean, you just don't see it, so you don't know. And that is kind of the biggest thing, is trying to fight something invisible. So you look at people when they come in for other crisis services, and you ask questions, and you try and get to find out from them directly, hey, are you experiencing homelessness? And this is what homelessness looks like. And then that way we're able to meet that need and get them, you know, potentially into, you know, actual housing units in the community or in the shelter if need be. That's kind of the way you have to go about handling it in these rural areas.
And then do schools, especially in rural areas, become one of those contact points as we talk about the numbers of the federal housing and urban development compared to our own state's Department of Public Instruction homelessness?
I mean, I think schools are a touch point, but I don't think that there is a very good continuum of care because typically speaking, that's going to go into the, you know, maybe county social services or perspective, I guess, potentially could be even going to other agencies that aren't connected with our community at all. So it can become difficult to get the information about those students to us so that we can reach out and try and help.
So Housing and Urban Development has over $54 million in funding available targeting rural homelessness, and they are accepting applications now through October 20th. When we continue with our guests, we'll take a look at what that funding could do in Wisconsin to help fight homelessness in rural areas, and we'd love to hear from you as well at 1-800-642-1234 or email ideas@wpr.org. We will continue our conversation with Michael Hall from Foundations for Living in Waupaca County and Brad Paul, Executive Director of the Wisconsin Community Action Program Association, next. I'm Lee Rayburn, and you're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. It's Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Lee Rayburn, and we're picking up our conversation, taking a look at homelessness in our rural areas across Wisconsin. It exists even if you do not see it, and that's according to the numbers that we have, as well as our guest, Michael Hall, Associate Director of the organization Foundations for Living, serving Waupaca County, and Brad Paul, Executive Director of WISCAP, the Wisconsin Community Action Program Association. We want to hear from you as well this half hour about homelessness, home insecurity at 1-800-642-1234. That's 1-800-642-1234. You can also email us ideas@wpr.org. And Brad, I'm going to turn to you here about the housing and urban developments now. $54+ million that is set to target rural homelessness and the applications that are now open and available through October 20th. Just going back to the story earlier from the mayor of La Crosse, Mitch Reynolds, who said when talking about homelessness, significant challenges have to be addressed that go well beyond funding. What could this housing and urban development do to address rural homelessness in Wisconsin?
Well, the announcement's welcome. I mean, obviously, that's a significant amount of money, and that will serve a lot of needs. One of the challenges with the money and the ongoing challenge has been there's a really heavy emphasis on that particular announcement as well on the unsheltered homeless, which we obviously need to include in any strategy, and we need to address the needs of all people experiencing homelessness. But as Michael said before the break, that gets tricky in rural areas when you talk about unsheltered. First of all, there's not many shelters, so even counting that is difficult. But the unsheltered don't reveal themselves as much in rural areas for the reasons that Michael talked about. And so with that as the point of emphasis on this new money, I sometimes fear that we're talking about sort of old strategies and new packaging. And so I'm a little concerned that may be the emphasis a bit misplaced, certainly needed nationally and certainly needed in urban areas. But the grant opportunity includes a lot of money for the homeless system, the continuum of care, and it includes what I think is probably most promising. It includes, I don't know, somewhere in the area of about $40 million, if I'm not mistaken, for vouchers. And I think that will go a long way towards helping address some people's housing needs in rural areas.
Would those be housing vouchers?
Yes, correct.
And Brad, what do you see about the potential funding here from Housing and Urban Development as they focus on rural homelessness or rural home insecurity for pretty much the first time in such a scale?
Well, you know, we've been talking about differences, but one thing that's common, whether it's urban or rural, is that we have a national housing crisis. Yeah. And housing prices are up everywhere. Rent specifically, and we're talking about individuals and families that really are part of the home ownership market. They're renters. Rent is up. Available units are tight. The vacancy rates statewide are very low, below 5%. So the squeeze is on, really, for people, whether you're in urban or rural areas right now with respect to the housing market. And then on top of that, you've got a really sort of a unique dynamic in a rural area where, you know, if a new company comes to town, that creates opportunity, and yet it makes housing costs spike, right? And so you have that along with the flip side of that. If an industry leaves a rural area, then the wages go with that. You know, maybe some players like a Wisconsin Rapids and its challenges with the paper mills over the years. So the rural piece is tricky because of those dynamics, but the commonality is housing and housing prices and lack of available units. And so HUD making this kind of investment is good. I think they could probably tweak the approach a little bit to more accommodate the realities in rural areas, but certainly the infusion of dollars and vouchers can only help.
Brad Paul, Executive Director of the Wisconsin Community Action Program Association, otherwise known as WISCAP. Also joining us, Michael Hall, Associate Director for Foundations for Living, which serves Waupaca County. Also want to include you in our conversation at 1-800-642-1234, where we go to Linda in Duluth this afternoon. Linda, you're on the air.
Oh, hi.
Hi.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Oh, good. Yeah, thank you for taking my call. I want to talk about something that I hear left out whenever anybody's talking about homelessness, which I describe as being deprived of housing. I have been without housing several times in the last 20 years. I'm a single person. I don't have family. And I know a lot of other people in the same boat. I have been employed, for example, on a Department of Homeland Security contract, which required me to have a master's degree. There was no apartment available in the city where I was. I had to live in a homeless shelter. And while I was in that homeless shelter for like 7 months, I met many other professional people who were deprived of housing and working. We're full-time employed people, and we can't find housing. You only have to be a single person needing a one-bedroom apartment in many cities, in many states, and rural areas of this country to find out how big this problem is. And one thing that happened over the last 20 years is more and more work became temporary by contract. When contracts end, you're out of employment. You often have to move to a new place, a new state, and good luck finding a place to live, even when you've got a job.
What would you do, Linda? What would be priority number one for you if you were to lead the charge against homelessness?
Build more housing.
The solution to homelessness is housing. Linda, thank you so much for the call. Michael Hall, professionals, and Linda not alone, spending 7 months in a shelter because they couldn't find housing. Is the solution as simple as housing?
Yes and no. I mean, certainly we need more housing, but when you're looking at the general clientele that we're dealing with on a pretty regular basis, you have to contend with background checks and credit checks and those sorts of things. And even if it's not really that they have particularly bad credit, but perhaps, you know, when 10 years ago they are facing an eviction and that's on their record, you can have a lot of houses and a lot of empty houses if they can't pass the checks to get in. And that's pretty common an issue across the state, so far as I can tell.
Linda, thank you so much for sharing your story. We turn now to Steve in Chippewa Falls. Steve, good afternoon. You're on Central Time.
Thank you for taking my call. My first thought is, are we defining ourselves into a homeless problem by saying only so many people can live in a home together and sort of making rules that didn't exist back in the 50s and 60s and 70s when a big family would live in a relatively small house? And I wonder if there's that. And then number two, if you just have vouchers and vouchers, are you putting some people in and driving other people out because they can't, you're just driving up the cost of housing by pouring more money onto the inflation fire. And the third thing is, if you've been at this for 60 years and the problem isn't being solved, it's getting worse and worse and worse, should we maybe take a different tact and turn this sort of, take this away from government agencies and turn it back to maybe ask the churches, ask the local groups to house local people and take it away from being a government function?
Steve,
those are my questions. I'll listen.
You brought up a litany there, so let's go down the list. And Brad, I'll turn to you. Are vouchers, the potential of vouchers, only going to create inflation and worsen the housing crisis?
Well, no, I don't know if I would subscribe to that. I mean, we've been retreating from investment in housing for 40 years now. And to sort of turn this over, or sort of to close the circle on his questions about government, the challenge that we have is that what we're talking about are the lowest income renters possible, right? And so the market generally doesn't build housing for that sector. And so because of that, it's really up to the government to fill that space. He mentioned the really crucial role that churches and charities play, and I agree with that, but they're not able to create housing on the scale that we're talking about. And so if we're going to fill that gap, which is significant, in the state of Wisconsin, you've got 150,000 households that are paying more than 50% of their income on housing. If you're going to fill that gap, you really need some alternative to the private sector. And historically, that's been the government, less so over the last 40 years. And I think we have to reckon with that finally.
So from your perspective, the government's actually pulled back over the last 40 years. Churches, community organizations, they've always been involved and will continue to be.
100% valuable partner in it all.
We are out of time, but I want to thank you both. Brad Paul, Executive Director, Wisconsin Community Action Program Association. Thank you so much for joining us this afternoon.
Thank you.
Michael Hall from Foundations for Living, serving people experiencing homelessness and home insecurity in Waupaca County. Thank you so much for your work and sharing it with us as well.
All right. Thank you. Have a good afternoon.
And certainly this topic deserves more discussion, and we will continue. And we invite you to join the conversation at any point by emailing us ideas@WPR.org.